Blog Talk Radio.
Coach D, I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited about the Word of God, and I am ready to get started and get straight to the point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Life is so many lessons. Day by day, week by week, month by month, we just go through life and we go through various lessons, and we're always learning something. Tonight's show, I struggled because I had two different messages that I believe that the Lord would want me to share, but we know that we know that confusion and chaos is not of the Lord because everything is decent and in order. So the first message that dropped in my spirit a couple of days ago was religion says do and relationship says done. But then as I was studying for that, I felt like I was empty. And then another message came about called, you can't pour from an empty cup. So as I began to study, I was like, I was torn between which one do I do? Do I really minister about pouring from an empty cup? And that's the direction I want to go in. Why? Because that's where I'm at right now. I feel empty. And I just feel like I don't have anything to pour out. But the Holy Spirit would not allow me to go in that direction, but I will be ministering from that direction, not next week, because next week we will not be here, but the week after next we will be here, and I will be talking about the empty cup, and I will be talking about pouring, not being able to pour from an empty cup, but my cup will be full. Amen. So tonight I'm going to stick with the plan. I'm going to stick with the direction that the Holy Spirit gave me in the first place. And that direction is going to be religion says do and relationship says done. And I felt this is the perfect word for me. And I just pray that in the midst of it, blessing me, that it will bless you all as well. One thing that I'm going to give you guys a fact about Coach D, that if you don't know Coach D personally, this is something that you wouldn't know. But Coach D struggled, and I struggle with the Pharisee spirit. And people look at the Pharisee spirit as a spirit that's always just criticizing and being hypocritical. But there's another part about the Pharisee spirit that's just as big as being critical or hypocritical. And the other part of that spirit, that Pharisee spirit, is the spirit that most people that struggle with the Pharisee spirit have a hard time forgiving themselves. They have a hard, they beat up themselves more than they beat up others. And I struggle with that. I struggle with beating up myself, you know, when I blow it, when I miss the mark, when I don't get it right. I'm constantly just beating myself up. And that's why I believe tonight's message is important for me. But I know that if I'm doing it, there's others that struggle in that area as well. And so I was fellowshipping with a friend of mine this week, and we were talking about that. And they were the ones, so I can't take all the credit for the title of tonight's message, because they were the ones that said, Denise, religion says do, and relationship says done. I absolutely, positively have no doubt that I have a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. But yet I still battle with the spirit of Pharisee spirit to some degree. Now I'm going to break down that spirit so you'll understand it, because there's a lot of components to it. And though I don't think I have the Jezebel spirit or some of the other spirits that comes with the Pharisee spirit, but there is a part of that I do believe, is that we want to, you know, we're constantly trying to perform. Ooh, that's it. We're constantly trying to perform. And why we do that is because from the time we come out of our mother's womb until the time we come into a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are performing. And once we even come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we're not taught properly, if we're not guided properly, guess what? We're going to still be performing. And I found that I was constantly performing, and I couldn't understand why I'm performing, because I know that the Word of God told me already that Christ came and he gave it all, that he died for me, that I was purchased with a price, that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've done everything that was required of me to accept the gift of salvation. And I've accepted that gift of salvation. And yet I still find myself trying to perform, not conscious effort to perform, but want to make sure, oh, Lord, did I do it right? Am I right? Did I get it right? Oh, Lord, I'm so reckless. Oh, Lord, this wretched. You know that song says, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was, you know, it goes, I can't think of it now. But, you know, this wretched woman that I am, and I still beat myself up. But the reality of it is that when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship says it's done. It's done. We no longer have to perform. And why we still perform, many of us, is because from the time we're born until, like I said, we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're performing. We're constantly hearing, good job. Oh, if you do this, you'll get this. If you get good grades, you'll get this. If you lose a tooth, you'll get this. It's always a performance, and then there's a, you know, you perform, reward. Perform, reward. Oh, my God. This message is going to bless somebody on tonight if you'll only listen. because there's more than people than just me that's struggling with the spirit, the Pharisee spirit, that spirit of performing the law and performing the law to the letter. And that's why Christ came. Because not that the law is supposed to be forgotten about, but the law was a guideline. It was a guideline to show us how wretched we were. It was a guideline to show us that we, without him, we can't. Without him, we can't. It was just to show us. God already knew who we were. He already knew the consequences of sin. He already knew the damage of sin. He already knew the chaos and the complexity that sin could cause. He already knew that. We didn't. But his law was created for us to see. Man, we're falling short. Man, we can't, you know, it was just done for that. He knew that we could not fulfill the law, and that's why he sent his son to fulfill the law for us, because he knew that we couldn't. And so by his son, Jesus, our Savior, coming, it took that performance spirit of us. We no longer have to perform. We don't have to go out and sell magazines. We don't have to go out and sell goods. We don't have to go out and we don't have to go to church. We don't have to go to Bible study. We don't have to do all these things that is required by the law. Jesus even took it a step further when he was talking with the Pharisees, who were constantly trying to, because they didn't know who he was. They didn't even know that this was God in the flesh, because they were so stuck in legalism. They were so stuck in the law that they didn't even know that they were dealing with God himself. And even in the midst of Jesus having to deal with the Pharisees, constantly trying to trip him up, constantly trying to nail him to the law, not knowing that he was the law, right? So they were tripping him up and constantly asking him contradicting questions. They were trying to trick him, you know. And if you could remember some of the things that they were asking him, like, you know, with a man on the Sabbath day, do you do this on the Sabbath day? Because the law said. But Jesus, in his wisdom, his compassion, his grace and his mercy, he said, you know, he took it a step further every time that they tried to throw the law at the law. And he said, well, you know, they said if a man if a man murders, he's going to go through X, Y, Z. But he said, I'm going to take it a step further. He ain't even got to murder his brother. But if he has ill thoughts towards his brother, he's already then missed the mark. So he, every time they came to him with the law brought it back to them as an adjustment. So he said, okay, if this person commit adultery, they're going to get stoned. He said, but guess what? Let me tell you this. You talking about this law of committing adultery, getting stoned. But he said, guess what? I say if a man even look at a woman with lust, or a woman, man, woman, look at the other in lust in their mind, they've already committed the sin. So these were the men with no relationship preaching religion and what we have to do. And Jesus was constantly coming back to them and saying, it's done. I'm here for that purpose. So we're going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to read the Word, and then we're going to get back on track. Man, I pray that tonight sets some of us free, that we don't have to be operating or fighting or battling with the Pharisee spirit, that we don't have to be beating ourselves up because we're missing the mark and we're so ashamed, and because it's really a spirit of condemnation when we beat ourselves up because we can't get it right, we're not getting it right, we're trying to get it right, but then we beat ourselves up. I rebuke and I bind this Pharisee spirit on tonight, that it will have no place in our lives, that we will truly accept the gift of salvation, that we will truly accept and realize what Jesus already done for us. And that doesn't give us a ticket to sin. That doesn't give us a ticket to sin, because when you truly understand what Jesus done for us and you truly begin to build a personal relationship, it's that relationship and it is what he's done for us that won't allow us to go crazy, that won't allow us to get so far out of control. It won't allow us to do that. Why? Because we are going to be, because relationship will cause us to be true to our conviction. He said he didn't come into the world to condemn, remember? And we know that condemnation comes from the enemy, because the enemy is the accuser. And there's two things that the enemy always wants us to remember, or there's two things that he tries to get us to remember or not know. He always wants us to forget who we are. Amen? He wants us to forget who we are and whose we are. And if he could get us to forget who we are and whose we are, then half of his battle is done. Because guess what? Then we're going to operate in the spirit of condemnation. We're going to operate in the spirit of guilt. We're going to operate in the spirit of performance. We're going to constantly be trying to perform. And guess what? There is nothing that we can do. There is no act that we could do that will bring us any closer to our Savior. Amen. So let's get into this word. And I'm just going to read from this scripture. This is the scripture that was placed on my heart. John, we're going to go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I'm going to read from 1 to 15. It's a little long. This is where I normally lose people. God, we keep missing the mark. Because we hate most of us. Now, many of us love to read, but there's a lot of us that hate to read. We hate to read. We hate to read the word of God. That's why most of us don't really know God and don't have a relationship with God. Why? Because we're not reading the word of God. The word of God is God's mind, and we hate to do that. Why? Because it's boring in most cases if you don't have that connect. You know, I hear people say, oh, man, I start reading the word and I get sleepy. That's because that Holy Spirit is not activated. And you got to start activating the Holy Spirit, because it goes back to discipline. You got to discipline your flesh to fall subjective under the Spirit of God. And that's why fasting is important and praying is important. Prayer and fast is important, because what it does is it tells your flesh, the sinful nature, it tells it, no, you're not going to tell me what to do, but I'm going to tell you what to do. And today we're not going to eat. Now, why is eating important? It could be eating, or it could be whatever that thing is that has you confined. It could be eating. It could be social media. It could be television. Whatever those things that you fall weak for, you know, it's a lust, won't they? It could be sex. Whatever those things are that you may have to fast from for a period of time, just so that you could subject your body to obedience. Amen. So right now we're going to subject our bodies to the obedience, because we're going to be still for a moment as I read the word of God and set a foundation for where the Holy Spirit will take us on tonight. Amen. John chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV on tonight. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember what I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But verily I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you will bring forth a rhema word. Father God, all the hearts, Father, that have been broken and confused and condemned with performance, with the spirit of with the Pharisee spirit, with the spirit of hypocrisy and criticalness and judgment, with the spirit of self-inflicted, Father God, condemnation. Father, we rebuke those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. Father, let your word rise up, Father, and heal us in those areas. Lord, we just thank you right now that you are ever present. And Father God, that it is in the very presence of you that the anointing brings that breaks every yoke. So Father God, I thank you that for what will go forth on tonight. I pray that everyone that's tuning in is exactly where you would have them to be on tonight, Father God. And Lord, that this will be a transformational word in Jesus' mighty name. But we just read from John 16, 1 through 15, and I think it was very enlightening, because in summary, what we read was Jesus was telling us that, you know, that he was going back to the Father, and that he was leaving us a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is not going to tell us. The Holy Spirit, he only knows one thing, and he knows God. So the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you about the lust of your flesh. It knows nothing about the lust of your flesh. The only thing it knows is about God and the Spirit of God. You know, it is the Spirit of God. So it's going to reveal to you the things of God. It's going to reveal to us kingdom things. Amen. And so this is what Jesus was telling us in this. And I found that this scripture was the perfect scripture to lay the foundation, because we were talking about relationship and religion. And we know that the Pharisee spirit is a religious spirit. It's a spirit of hypocrisy. It's a spirit that lays down all these, what you have to do. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do this. You have to do that. And even when we talk about the Ten Commandments, is laws, right? And this is the laws that the Pharisees was pushing very hard. And it's not that these laws were relevant. It's just that these laws were meant for us to understand where we were truly missing the mark. Amen. And so with these laws and the Pharisees, and the cool thing about the Pharisees, you know, and their religious triumphs is that they were pushing laws that them themselves weren't even following, because it was impossible. It was impossible to follow them. And so them themselves wasn't following them. And so they had these Ten Commandments, and they were pushing the laws, the Mosaic with Moses, you know, in Moses' time. They were pushing all these laws, right? And I hear people today pushing these laws. I hear people today that will skip back and forth between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very relevant. No, nothing about the Bible is irrelevant. All of it plays a part. All of it is a type and set. All of it engages and it works together harmoniously, right? But I hear people talking about, you know, well, do you post a tie? You're not supposed to tie it. Oh, I got a tattoo. You're not supposed to get a tattoo. Oh, you look at all the stuff we were doing. Look at David. Look at Moses. Look at Abraham. Look at Elijah. Look at all these mighty people of God, men and women of great faith, Sarah and Ruth and Naomi. And when you think about all these people had what? Issues. They couldn't follow the law. Amen? Like us, they couldn't follow the law. And if they could have followed the law, and if they could have stayed on track with the law, then God would have not needed to come down. He would not have to come down in the flesh and give a plan B and give an alternative plan, because he seen they cannot keep the law. So he sent himself down to come so that through his sacrifice, that we all may be saved. And I was speaking with someone, and I remember reading a book. I don't know how many of you might be familiar. Everybody's familiar with Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church. He's a major mega church. He's a great inspirational. He's a great inspirational teacher. I'm not going to say it. I just think he's a great encourager, and that's great. It has its place. But his dad, I remember John, was awesome. And John Osteen, I would follow John Osteen, and John Osteen had a gentle spirit. But John Osteen knew that word. He knew the word of God. And I had read a couple of his books, and one of his books particularly really hit home for me. And I can't remember the name of the book now, but it spoke about the blood of Jesus. And in the book, it talked about when God sees us, he doesn't see Coach D. He doesn't see you. But what he sees is the blood, and that we're covered under that blood. And thank God that he only sees that blood, because he doesn't see all the other stuff. And many of us know, as much as we love God, many of us know we got some issues. Some of us still don't even like our family members. Some of us don't like folks in the street. Some of us don't have compassion. Some of us don't even operate in the grace, the same grace that's been afforded to us, we won't even give to others. Amen. And so God sees the blood when he sees us. And I thought that was a great book, and I'm going to get the name of it, because if you get time to purchase it and read it, it may be a good read for you all. It was a good read for me. But anyway, saying all that to say this, is that we all, we all struggle. And thank God that Jesus came, and that he came for our sins, and that he came, and in the word of God, it tells us that when he came, he washed away our sins, past, present, and future. And so I hear people talking about grace, because we know the New Testament is really based on grace, and grace is what God's unmerited favor and his mercy. And so I hear people talking about that, and yes, the grace is, that's what it is. But there's another component to that, and it's relationship. Because when we begin to build an intimate personal relationship with Christ, there's a transformation that should begin to take place in us. And I was thinking about, why would we know that God, Jesus came. We know that, his grace is sufficient. We know all these things, right? But when you go back in the scripture and you hear different scriptures, and you wonder, when you hear those scriptures, why would the word of God say that if there's not more to this grace thing? Because if you think about grace, the way people make it sound, like, hey, grace, I'm just going to live my best life. I'm going to live the way I want to live. And at the end of the day, God got me. I hear that all the time now. God got your back. God got me. God got my back. All that stuff. And we talk about not being in performance. And so I don't want to say performance, and I want to be careful how I word this on tonight, because I don't want to be contradicting. But there should be some requirement. Because, for example, if I purchased you a gift and I wrapped it up and put it in a box and I wrapped it, and let's say I set it at your door, what would be your requirement to get that gift? And I hear my spirit, some people say, nothing, you gave it to me. But there is something you would have to do to get that gift. You would have to walk to your door, your front door. You would have to open it, and you would have to pick up that gift to receive it. Right? So there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something that we have to do. And I don't want to look at it as a performance, but there's going to be something we have to do. God has given us the gift of salvation, but we have to receive that salvation. Amen? We have to receive it. God has given us not only the gift of salvation, but guess what? That comes with relationship. And I often say relationship brings a right. What do you mean, Coach B? Relationship brings a right. In other words, someone could not just walk up to me and begin to tell me what I'm not. Well, you're doing this, you're not doing this right, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, and they don't know me. Why? Because I'm not going to receive that from them. Because my first thought is going to be like, I don't know you, you don't know me, and you don't need to come telling me nothing. And that's the way most of us would think. But when we have a relationship with someone, it builds a trust level. So when my mom or my dad or my siblings come and tell me something, because we have a relationship, it brings a right. They have a right to come and tell me something. Now, I still have a right to receive it or not, but they have a right to come tell me something. And I remember I used to say with my children, everybody couldn't discipline my kids. And I used to say, relationship brings a right, because if you don't have a relationship with my child, you don't have my child's best interest at heart, then no, you can't discipline my child. You have to have a relationship. I have to know that at the end of the day that you have my child's best interest at heart, that you care about them, that you love them, that you want the best for them. Otherwise, you can't discipline them. And so I believe that relationship brings a right, and when we get into do's and don'ts, that when it says relationship, it says it's done. When we have a personal relationship with Christ, when we're spending time with Christ, when we're reading his word, when we're meditating on his word, when we're praying, then now guess what? We have a relationship. And that relationship gives us the right to salvation. But not only does it do that, because we have a relationship with him, guess what we're going to do? We're not just going to be out there willy-nilly. See, because we know that we're a flesh. We know that we're a spirit housed in flesh. We know that the flesh will do certain things. But when you begin to build a relationship with Christ, guess what? You are now conscious. You're God conscious. And you're going to be trying to, in that consciousness, you ain't going to want to do what you used to do. If you was out there running women before, you ain't going to want to be out there running women. If you was out there doing drugs before, you're not going to want to be out there doing drugs. Would those things be a challenge for you? Probably so, for the rest of your natural life. But your God-conscious mind is saying, no, I can't do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. Let's not say I can't do that no more, because you can. But it begins to say, I don't want to do that no more. I want to be pleasing to him. When I think about what he's done for me, when I think about the second chance of life, when I think about my salvation, when I think about my eternal life, when I think about the blessings here on earth, when I think about where I'm going and what I've done and how he's protected me and how he's taken me and how he's blessed me, guess what? I don't want to do what I used to do. Because why? I want to be pleasing in his eyesight. I want to be totally aligned with him. And it does not mean that I won't miss the mark. It does not mean that one day I might lose control and cuss you out, heaven forbid. But what it does mean is that I'm trying to be in alignment. Why? Because I love him. And I am so grateful for what he has done for me. Yes, I could go out there and do whatever I want to, but I don't want to. And that's the big difference. I don't want to. I don't want to be out of order. I don't want to be out there. I don't want to be subjected to the devices of the enemy, because when I'm not in alignment with Christ, I'm out of alignment. And when I'm out of alignment, then I'm risking the attack from Satan. I'm a risking the attack from being out of alignment. And I think we kind of briefly talked about that on last week, about the umbrella of grace. The umbrella is like the grace is like an umbrella that covers us from all the elements, whether it's raining, hail and storm, cold, sun. Umbrella is covering all of that. It protects you from the sun. It protects you from the rain. It protects you from bad weather. And God's grace is like that. It's like that umbrella. And when we come from up under that umbrella, then we're subjected to whatever the element is. To whatever the element is. I don't know about some of you. There are certain things that I can't watch. I could be watching shows, and one show I could think of particular, can't think of the name of it, but it was a show, and it was about this mother. She was in Africa, and she had sons, and they were kind of like part of a drug cartel. And I had been watching that show. I watched like the first 4 or 5 seasons. It was good. It was really good. But by season 5, I started noticing something. Maybe season 4, I kind of noticed something. Didn't think a lot of it. By season 5, it became a little bit more obvious. I couldn't watch season 6. And what it was is they were getting into voodoo. And they were saying, chatting stuff on the show and doing voodoo. And immediately my spirit got grieved. And I knew I had to stop watching that show. Because I knew that if I continued to watch that show, that I was subjecting myself. It's spiritual. Everything is spiritual. And whether you believe it or not, there's things that you can hear with your ear gates. There's things that you can see with your eye gates. There's things that you can smell with your nose gate and your mouth gate. Those are all gates. What do you mean, Coach D? Those are all ways that things can enter into your spirit, enter into you. And if you're not careful about what you're giving your attention to, those spirits will come and live inside of you. That's real. And if you don't believe me, watch something hard. Watch something that's, and you watch it. And then after you watch it, you know, now you walking around with a bad attitude or whatever, and you don't even know why. You don't even know why you walking around with a bad attitude. It's just something that you don't watch, soap operas, you know, reality TV, all these things. If you're not careful and conscious, if you're not a conscious, you could go unconscious, and before you know it, these things become your reality. I could think back, and this is just a little story, maybe I'm telling my age, but there was a time when soap operas, I don't know if you guys all remember As the World Turned, and there was a guy, a character on there. And he was a bad character on the show. Just a horrible character, and I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, this is a real story. This is not myth. This is back in the probably early 70s, so some of y'all probably wasn't born. But this guy was a character on the soap operas, and women either hated him or they loved him. And he was out one day in Hollywood living his personal life. You know, he's just a character. And this woman came up to him, and she called him by his character name. And this woman began to shoot him because she had no longer, she had slipped out of reality. And all she seen was this guy who was playing this character. You see what I'm saying? Another real situation. Young boy in Florida. His mother worked, and when she worked during the day, she would watch the neighbor's child. And the neighbor had a little girl, and the woman, she had a son. And this particular day, she came home from work. The neighbor dropped off her daughter. The woman decided she'd take a nap because the kid was a young. Her son was 12. The little girl was about 8. So she figured she could take a nap. If anything happened, they would come wake her up. It's no big deal. Her son was a WWF fan. He looked at all the wrestling. He loved the wrestling. I mean, he just knew every wrestler's name. He knew what their motto was, everything, right? He'd been watching us. He loved it. He loved it. And this one particular day, the little girl was there. The son was watching him wrestling. So he started play wrestling with the little girl. You know, he just wrestling with her and stuff. And somewhere between reality and fantasy, he slipped. And he became the Rock. And he began to sling the little girl around and twist her neck and, you know, and hold her in body pins. And I mean, he was just acting out what he had been giving his attention to for maybe years. I don't know how long. But anyway, the little girl died. He killed the little girl. Did he kill her intentionally? No. Do you think that it scarred him? Yes. Because they gave this little boy prison time. They gave him adult time. He was 12 years old. They gave him adult time because he killed this little girl. So I could go on. I could pull news article after news article after news article of people who have went unconscious, and they gave their attention to certain spirits, and those spirits began to interact in them. We see it all the time. We see it with drug abuse. You know, you could cut on social media, you could cut on the TV, and you see people tripping out on drugs, and they literally look like they've been possessed. Guess what? They have been possessed. It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. See, the thing about the devil is he got to duplicate. The enemy got to duplicate. There's nothing authentic about him. He got to duplicate everything. But the thing about the Spirit of God is it's just one. It's just the Holy Spirit. And so when people talk about their spiritual, you better know what you're spiritual about. Because there's only one Holy Spirit. But there's millions of other spirits that's not holy. So when we start talking about we're spiritual, and when we start talking, you know, oh, I'm not Christian, I'm spiritual, and this and that, be careful, because there's only one Holy Spirit, but the enemy has duplications of spirit. The enemy has multiple spirits, and again, they are not holy, and they will take possession. That's their job. You know, when you talk about the story of Job, the enemy was having a conversation with God. He was having a conversation with God. And his conversation with God was such as, you know, God was telling him, had you considered? And he was roaming to and fro on the earth trying to see who get devoured. Remember, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And whatever he got to do to make that happen, he's going to make it happen through duplication, through whatever he needs to do. He's going to make that happen. So we want to make sure that we only operate in one spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. And anything we operate in outside of the Holy Spirit is not holy. Amen? It is not holy. But getting back into tonight, we're going to start narrowing this down. And there's some things I want to just share with you guys as we were talking about the Pharisee spirit. And I was very transparent in the fact that I struggled with performance, and I struggle with performance because all my life I had to perform, you know, and most of us have. We perform, you know, as kids, we have to perform. We have to get A's. We get A's, we get rewards. We get B's, we get rewards. You know, we athletic, we win the race track, you know, the race meet, we get applied. Everything's performance. We perform, we get rewarded. We perform, we get rewarded. And then when we come into the knowledge of Christ and we become new believers, guess what? We're still stuck in performing. We still want to perform. We want to perform for Christ. God, you know, God, look what I did. I went to church 3 times this week. You know, God, look what I did. I served on the usher board. God, look what I did. I sung in the choir. God, look what I did. I paid my tithes. God, look what I, you know, we want to perform, and when we perform, we want to be rewarded by God, but God is not looking for performers, because it's already done. What God is looking for from us is not performance. He's looking for relationship. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to hear his voice and know his voice. He wants us, when he says something, it becomes rhema for it. When he speaks, he wants us to get a picture. He wants us to get a picture. When he says table to us, he don't want us to see T-A-B-L-E. He wants us to see a physical table. When he says sin, he don't want us to see S-I-N. He wants us to see why when we have sex outside of marriage, he wants us to literally see the pain. He wants us to see the disconnect from him. Because when you're in sin, you're in disconnection from God. So when he says sin, it's not about us sin, S-I-N. It's about us understanding why you're saying that. You know, parents, we always tell our kids, don't do this, don't do this. And I remember when I was a kid, I said, well, why? Because I said so. Well, God ain't trying to tell us because he said so. He's trying to give us, he wants us to understand the revelation of why he said what he said. He wants us to understand why it's important not to have sex outside of marriage. There's implications. Pregnancy out of wedlock, that's implications. Because did you know when a pregnant woman out of marriage have a baby, what happens? You know what spirit began to operate? The spirit of abandonment, the spirit of rejection. So before this child even had a chance in this earth, they already condemned. Especially if the father is not involved and not around. There are so many spirits that come into play. Because when we're out of order, then, right, remember the umbrella? When we're out of order, out of the umbrella, then guess what? We are subject to be attacked. We're subject to all these spirits that could come in and do what they do. So when he says sin, not S-I-N, but let's begin to see the heartfelt of it. Why did God say don't murder? Why did he say don't covet your neighbor's wife? Why did he say don't commit adultery and fornication? Why did he say these things? So if we get away from, oh, he's just trying to take my fun away. Man, I'll get saved when I get 50. I'll get saved when I get 40, because I still got fun to have. You see what I'm saying? We wouldn't be thinking like that. We start understanding why he say what he say. We didn't understand it with our parents when they were telling us stuff. They didn't understand some stuff too. But oftentimes they were telling us that they've been through some stuff and they don't want us to go through it. But they didn't know how to tell us that. But God is telling them, this is why I say don't do this. Because if you do this, this is the implication. If you do this, this is you opening yourself up. If you do this, you know, now you're going to be attacked. If you do this, you're welcoming certain spirits that's not holy. So that's what we want to see from God, and that's what he wants from us. And the only way we'll get that information, the only way we'll be able to understand that is through our personal relationship with him. So we got to build a personal relationship with him. Jesus refused to accept their accusations. So there were things about Jesus here on earth, which is God in the flesh, that we had to witness or we've seen or that Jesus had to deal with. Because now what? He's in the earth. He's in the flesh. Right? He's in the flesh. So there were certain things that the enemy kept bringing to his attention. You know, the enemy is no respecter of person either. Jesus is no respecter of person, neither is the enemy. There are certain things that the enemy did to Jesus. And guess what? If he did it to Jesus, you think he won't do it to us? But we got to be aware. One of the things he said the enemy is an accuser. Jesus refused to accept his accusation. He refused to accept his accusation. He was like, I'm not going to accept what you're trying to throw down here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not accepting what you're trying to throw down. I'm not going to accept your accusations. Because why? Because I know who I am and I know whose I am. So when we know who we are and we know whose we are, then guess what? The enemy can't come in and tell us nothing. He can't come in and tell us, oh, you know what? You're going to hell. You'll never get it right. Oh, you know what? You're not perfect. All the stuff that goes through our mind that the enemy try to convince us of. Oh, you're just a sinner. God can't do nothing with you. All the things he tried to tell us, God will never forgive you. Oh, my God, you went and slept with that person. God will never forgive you. You might as well hang it up now. These are the things he tried to do to us. But when we know the word of God and when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, then we know we know we have the ability, when we do miss the mark, to repent. And repent don't mean a 360, it means a 180. We turn away from that thing. We don't turn right back around to it. And many of us is functioning in 380s, you know, because we heard that another lie. You know, we always say 380, and we've been led to believe that 380 means turn around from something. But what it does is, all a 380 does is turn you away and turn you, when you land, when you stop turning, you right back to square one. Think about that. So stop saying, I'm getting ready to do a 380. No, you don't want to do a 380, because if you do a 380, you're going to be back in the same garbage you just left. So you want to turn away from it. That means you want to turn your back, walk away in a different direction. Why? Because you know whose you are and who you are. You know that when you do blow it, you could repent. Jesus refused to allow the Pharisees. He refused to allow them to demean or to try to trick him or to try to twist his words or to try to cause, you know, trying to get him to bite, so to say. They were trying to twist his words. They were trying to trip him up. And he refused to allow them to trip him up. Why? That he did. How did he do that? Because, and this is what we should be doing. Every time the enemy comes to attack us, every time the enemy tells us we're no good, every time the enemy tells us you'll never be nothing, you'll never go nowhere, you'll never have no money, you ain't got no money, you ain't going to do this, you can't go here, you can't go there because of this, because of that. You're too short, you're too dark, you're too light, you're too tall, but you're too fat, you're too skinny. Whatever the enemy is telling you, you always want to come back to the enemy with the word of God. How do we fight our battles here on the earth? We fight our battles with the word of God. Why? Because God watches over his word to perform it, so that it shall not return unto him void. That's scripture. And so when we speak God's word over situations and circumstances, God is just to watch over that word. He's just, you know, it's kind of like reminding him, but we ain't got to remind God of nothing. God is all known. But what we do is remind ourselves. And so when we speak God's word over situations, we're reminding ourselves what God said about it. That God said, not me, because I may not think this, but God said that Coach D could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens her. God said that he would make me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed going in and coming out, that he would make me the lender, the borrower and not the lender. See, God said that in his word. Amen? And so when we start speaking God's word, and I hear people say, well, I ain't no Bible thumper, and I don't know the word, and, you know, I don't always get it right. That's okay. Guess what? We have an advantage, and we don't even take advantage of the advantage, because back in the day, you had to pick up the Bible and read. If you really want to know God's word, I mean, you could go to church, but oftentimes the people, even the pastor in church, didn't know the word. He would just quote one scripture and then preach his personal opinion about that scripture. But we got an advantage that our grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather didn't have. We have Google. We have internet access right there to us. We can pull up the Bible in every language. We could pull up, we could pull it up in Hebrew. You know, we could, it's right here for us. So we don't have an excuse. If you don't know the word, you don't know the Bible by heart, you don't know scriptures by heart, guess what? Neither do I. I know some scriptures, but I don't know all scriptures by heart. But guess what? I know I read enough of the word, and I got enough of the word inside of me through the Spirit of God inside of me that all I need to know is one little sentence or at least four words of what scripture I'm trying to say. And I could Google that, and it's going to bring it up to me. So if I'm struggling, if I wanted to, you too could go on the internet. I'm sad and depressed, but scripture, and it'll pull up several scriptures for you to read about being sad and depressed. I'm lonely and alone. It'll bring up several scriptures for you to read about being lonely and alone. And as we begin to read the scriptures, and as we begin to read the word, and as we begin to speak the word of our situations and circumstances, that's building our relationship with God. And as we begin to build our relationship with God, we'll know his voice. So when he speaks to us and he says, go, we'll know. When he tells us to stay, we'll stay. When he comes and tells us that we better not do this, we won't do this, go do this, we'll do this. And as we begin to walk in his obedience, we'll begin to see the promises of God manifesting in our lives, because it's through the obedience. And we begin to see those promises according to Deuteronomy 28:1-14. And it says in simplistic form, if we hearken diligently and obey all that he commands, these are the blessings that will overtake us. And we'll begin to see that. And as we begin to see that, we're building a personal relationship with him, then we'll realize that the relationship says done and religion says do. And we'll become less of performers, and we'll become more authentic in our love for Christ. And as we become more authentic in our love for Christ, when that day comes and all of our world is going to end. And sometimes, you know, we might be thinking one big thing, but if God calls you home tomorrow, guess what? Your world has ended. And when your world ends, what we don't want, we want to hear good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. And the only way I could think that my Father that's in heaven, who created me, who knew about me, the only way I could think that he would reject me and tell me he knew me not is if I didn't build a relationship with him. If I didn't take the time to build a relationship with him. So, Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We pray, Father God, that we will begin to build those personal, intimate relationships with you, Father. Father God, have your way in our lives as only you can, Father. Father God, make this word on tonight real, Father God, that it would become, that you would illuminate it for some of us, Father. Father God, that we no longer have to be performers, that we could be authentic. Father God, that we could be exactly who you called us to be. Father, that we could give you our hearts and our minds, Lord. And Lord, that you can lead us and guide us and direct us, Father. Father God, for those of us who have missed the mark, Father God, help us to learn how to repent. And Father God, keep walking. Keep our heads up and keep our eyes on the prize, Father God. Not to be condemned, Father God. Not to be overpowered by guilt and frustration, Father. But, Father God, to know that you didn't come to condemn the world, Father God. But, Father God, through you, that the world would be saved. So, Father, we just thank you on tonight. I thank you for each and every person listening in on tonight, Father. Lord, that they got something out of tonight. And, Father, if nothing else that they got out of tonight, Father, that they would just rejoice, Father God, that they have the ability to build an intimate personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight on this episode of Processing the Pain. Oh, my gosh. I hope it was a blessing to you all. It definitely was a blessing to me. And I'm telling you, I had a transformation on tonight with this show. I really did, because I got bruises from beating myself up when I missed the mark. And now I just really, truly understand that it's not about performance. It's not about performance. It's, you know, and even though we've been taught performance our whole lives, you know, most of us, we don't have to perform for God. He just wants us to be authentic. So I hope you guys, now, let me remind you next week, which is, let's see what week that is. Next Thursday, so this next Thursday is the 7th, and we will not be having a show on the 7th. I will be traveling, and it just so happens that on Thursday I will be in flight. So we will not be having a show on that Thursday, the 7th. And that's why I had one tonight, because this is actually the fifth Thursday. The third was the fifth Thursday of May, of June. And normally on the fifth Thursday, I don't have a show. But I did the show tonight because I knew I wasn't going to be doing one on the first Thursday. But we will be back on the 14th. And we just love you and we appreciate you all. And we look forward to seeing you on the 14th. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.